I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. The Florida Panthers winning the Stanley Cup tonight after winning in Game 6, 5-1. And Sam Bennett just won the Conn Smythe Award. Right? That's what it was? What if I hit you with a Conn Smythe Award?
Conn Smythe would be funny.
And then I'd get a, you sure about that?
No, I wouldn't have jumped down your throat for that. Hockey has more awards than any other sport on the planet, so I would be surprised if you can like keep up with all of them.
So, Bennett, let me just look at this here. Bennett, he didn't score tonight, or he didn't have a point tonight, but he had 5 goals in these finals. They did come at pretty big times. I'm just looking because Sam Reinhart had, I mean, he had 4 goals tonight. So he had 7 goals in the series. 4 of them tonight. Yeah, 2 were empty netters. But, you know, if you had 2, that counts as.
You know, 1 was also like a lucky deflection. So he was, you know. But what's the hockey equivalent of free throw merchant?
Empty goal, empty net merchant.
Empty net merchant, deflection merchant. He got lucky in the box score today.
Well, when Ovechkin got that record from Gretzky, people were tracking that Ovechkin had 10 more empty net goals than Gretzky. So they were saying, "Hey, what are we looking at here?" Now Gary Bettman is about to give up the Stanley Cup.
Hey! This is like for sure the greatest trophy in sports, right?
It is pretty badass.
There's nothing better than the Stanley Cup, though, right? I mean, it's just the greatest trophy. Right?
I mean, do you disagree? I mean, the Lombardi Trophy is a football. The World Series championship is a piece of tin, according to Rob Manfred. Mm-hmm. And the Larry O'Brien, that one's cool, but you can't drink out of it.
No, but a Larry O'Brien trophy has been in my house.
A replica or the actual trophy?
The actual thing.
I need details. Let's pause the hockey conversation.
Nah, it's fine. I stole it. What about the trophy I'm partial to is the, have you ever heard of a thing called the NVP?
N as in Nancy?
As in Nickelodeon, valuable player.
That a real thing?
Yeah, when Nickelodeon airs these games.
I did not know that. I would love to win an MVP.
Yeah. All right, there's Gary Bettman. What's Gary Bettman, 5'3"?
Oh, yeah, he's so short. Gary Bettman's like the size of my ottoman in my living room.
He kind of looks like... He kind of looks like Vladimir Putin a little bit.
I was waiting for you to say it because I 1,000% agree. I'm like, why is there a Russian statesperson on our screen here?
I've been watching like the news equivalent of the Red Zone channel all day. So my brain right now is going to lean there rather than Gary Bettman. I did not expect to see him.
By the way,
up
breaking news today. Vladimir Putin is the commissioner of the National Hockey League.
Yeah, I got this Newsmix channel where you get all the news channels.
How does that work? A red zone for news? What is it? All right, let's break now to this cat that's in a tree.
Like how, no, it's
you're not going to there's no goal line cam. Like I don't know how the news red zone works.
Well, it's just like a 6-box screen, like a news mix. It's DirecTV's news mix channel.
I see. There must be very scintillating stuff.
So then I bounce around and see like what I'm gonna watch and who
is there a Scott Hansen or Andrew Siciliano? I'm like, all right, let's.
I kind of get to be the Scott Hansen with my remote.
It's like we'll bounce to Fox and see what they're saying, and now MSNBC.
Yeah, then I go down to BBC World News and hit a little AccuWeather channel, and it's going to be a hot weekend across the country.
I would like to have an octobox of international weather ladies, but that's just me.
It's going to be a hot weekend across the country.
Shout out Bosnia.
Outdoor wedding this weekend. gonna be sweating.
Oh yeah, dude, it's gonna be 100 degrees next week here.
Not like just there, but everywhere. It is going to be hot all over the place. Well, all over. Everyone's getting hot.
Management, if you're listening, we want to work from home in air conditioner.
Panthers win 5-1. You just said we want to be working on the weekend. No. Panthers win 5-1 over the Edmonton Oilers. Sam Reinhart with 4 goals in this game, to Chuck with the other one. The Oilers were going to need to do what they've had to do all series long, and that was come back. Tonight it couldn't be done. Game one, of course, went to overtime. Oilers got the 4-3 win. Game two, double overtime. Panthers got that win. That has to be the one that's going to hurt the most, just because you had the opportunity. You were there. You were at home. You go double overtime. That's tough to lose that one. Then the Panthers go big in game three. Oilers get another win in overtime in game four. But then as the series was tied 2-2, in both NBA and NHL, and we're thinking, hey, this is pretty cool. You know, we haven't had 7-game series in each since, I think, 1994, which today being the big, like, anniversary of OJ and the finals and the World Cup and everything that went on, June 17th, 1994, that documentary that came out. But this got wrapped up in 6, and maybe the NBA does the same. We'll find out on Thursday. But this was a series where, if the Oilers were going to win, it seemed like they needed those overtime games, and they did. Both those wins came in overtime. But the Panthers, when they were right, I mean, they had 3 wins by at least 3 goals. They had a win by 3, a win by 4 tonight, a win by 5. So the Oilers got to feel like last year we were close in 7, this year we were close. And it went to overtime 3 different games. One more time is a Stanley Cup record. But maybe, Carlos, maybe it wasn't as close as it felt like for a while, because in the games that did not go to overtime, the Panthers were dominant in each and every one of those games, scoring at least 5 goals in each and every one of those games. In fact, scoring almost 5 goals in 4 of the games. So they've had no problem putting it in the net, lighting the lamp, as it were. And this was a series that, you know, felt close at times, but certainly the Panthers were the better team. I don't think anybody can really dispute that right now.
Yeah, and even in the games that you mentioned that the Oilers had come back to win it in overtime, those first 2 games where we had back-to-back overtimes, it was 3-0. It felt like every first period. I mean, today we got 3-0 into the second period, but Florida was up consistently this entire series, you know. So I'm not surprised. When I came into to get my show stuff ready, I looked at the TV. I saw that it was 2-0 Florida. I'm like, oh, they're about to score right now, and bang! Literally, Sam Bennett got a ricochet shot. So these series were dominated in the opening periods of each single game. So I know 6 games, Florida wins. All that it felt like. It seemed like it was close, but this was dominance all the way throughout. Even in the games where Florida lost, they dominated as well. So I'm wondering if this is a precursor to the other series where that one feels pretty close, a little back and forth, but maybe we find a team that wins it up in 6.
Panthers were playing in their 3rd straight Stanley Cup final. So it was the 3 years of Tampa Bay, and then the 3 years of Florida winning the last 2. They joined the 20-21 Lightning and the 16-17 Penguins as the only repeat champions in the salary cap era. So the word that we start to get close to here is dynasty. And for this era, it's about as close as any team has come by a couple of different repeat champions. Tampa had 3 Stanley Cup appearances in 3 years, winning 2. Florida has just done the same thing. I tend to think dynasty needs to be 3, And whether even that's a 3 and 4 years, you know, kind of Chiefs-ish, I think that's three. There's got to be three something. Three in a row is for sure a dynasty. That's, I think, always been. But then we can kind of play a little bit with it. You know, three appearances, two cups. Maybe the rules are different for a certain era, and that's fine. That's a debate for anyone to have, really. I don't know if I would go dynasty, but certainly this is a team that right now, the way they've been able to do this feels unbeatable. And as we talked about with Marchand and some of the moves that they've made to try to get back here, this has been a team that, you know, they're the best team in hockey. They won the Stanley Cup. They did it with moves at the deadline. They did it pretty convincingly, even though there were some overtime games in the games that they did win without overtime. I mean, they certainly won them. So fans celebrating on home ice tonight, they're feeling good, and they absolutely should be. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. David's in Buffalo. David, your thoughts? Good series.
Hey, yeah, Mark, I appreciate taking my call, man. You know, a couple things about the series. I thought Florida was a much better team in the middle of the ice. And then I think the forechecking from Florida was much stronger. I thought Edmonton depends a lot on power plays and, you know, these guys making moves, you know, where they can get to the net and be, you know, really walk right into the net like they did in the other series. And Florida was much tougher, you know, in that area around around Bobrovsky than the teams they played in the Western Conference playoffs. So I think that was the difference in the series. You know, and Florida's got a lot of guys that are really tough players, but man, they're skilled as hell and great. I mean, they played great, really consistent, especially the opening period throughout.
Yeah, so looking back, the team that gave them the most fits was the Maple Leafs. That one went seven. Otherwise, they knocked off Carolina in five. They knocked off Tampa Bay in five. I mean, Edmonton at times looked like the series could have gone their way. But again, as we've been talking here, when they won and it was not overtime, I mean, they won by multiple goals.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a talent discrepancy. I think Florida's definitely a lot deeper team. And then I think the other side to it, Bart, is, you know, McDavid and Edmonton. I don't think they have a very good either goaltender, whether it's Skinner or Picard. I don't think either guy is great. I think they're both probably backup goaltenders. And I think when you're trying to play rotate goalies, we've seen that with quarterbacks in football, in the NFL and in college, you don't really have a number one goalie. And if I was Edmonton, I'm not going to try to be the Elliot Friedman or the Pierre LeBrun or whoever, but I would probably unload maybe Bouchard or Vander Kane and try to bring back a goaltender on the other side. Because if McDavid doesn't have a goaltender, you know, look at Dan Marino. He never had a running game in his career. You know, all these guys in sports, whether it's LeBron, whether it's Jordan, whether it's Elway, they always needed that help to win that championship, and that's what McDavid needs now.
David, good to talk to you. Be in touch.
Sounds good, man. I'll talk to you later in the week, buddy.
All right, David in Buffalo, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Do we get all Carlos NBA-y about, like, Connor McDavid being here twice, not winning? Do we start to do that? They didn't really do it. Him and Draisaitl, not a lot of activity from those two guys tonight.
No, but Draisaitl's had a good run in the postseason. He had a good run in his finals as well. I mean, he basically kept them in this entire series. McDavid, outside of the one goal, completely no-show. I think now we could start having a conversation about McDavid of like, dude, what's going on? If a couple of fans want to drag him now, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, this is a hell of a time to really just drop a goose egg.
Yeah, he had two assists game one, three game two, an assist in game four. The only goal came in that loss on Saturday. So not a great series for Connor McDavid, regarded widely as one of the best, if not the best player in hockey, depending on who you talk to. So Florida winning tonight 5-1, winning the series 4-2, repeat champions here. The first repeat champions wasn't too long. It was the other team in Florida who they beat on their way here. the Tampa Bay Lightning in 20 and 21. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
The incomparable Kenny Albert, NHL on TNT, with the call of the lifting of the Stanley Cup, which goes back to the Florida Panthers. Won it a year ago. Won it 19 minutes ago. Congratulations to the Panthers with a 5-1 victory over the Edmonton Oilers. It ties into our highly coveted Defensive Player of the Week award. What do you think is more coveted, the Conn Smythe or the Defensive Player of the Week? I think we know the answer to that. It's the DPOW, brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Their members are the mission, NavyFederal.org. Sergei Bobrovsky is going to get it. The netminder for the Florida Panthers, 28 saves out of 29 shots tonight. Pretty good series overall. Remember, there were the two 42 save games that he had, game one, game two. And they have now posted a record of 5-2 at home in the last two seasons in the Stanley Cup with him between the pipes. So that is your Defensive Player of the Week award, again brought to you by our friends at the Navy Federal Credit Union, where their members are the mission. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get to Robert in Annapolis. Robert.
Hey, Voices. As always, thanks for taking my call. How ironic that the state of Florida has become the bastion of the NHL with the Lightning and the Panthers, I think now winning, what, two Stanley Cups in the past few years?
Four of the last six, and they've been in six of the last six.
State of Florida, man. Hockey's big down there, isn't it? By the way, Connor McDavid, I think, has assumed the mantle of Alex Ovechkin. Great players that come playoff time, don't post, although Ovechkin eventually did win the Stanley Cup. NBA, of the 30 teams, you were talking about how they don't promote the league. Do you know how many of the 30 teams in the NBA lost money this year? According to reliable sources.
According to reliable sources. Oh, okay. I don't have the books in front of me, Robert.
Well, out of 30 teams, take a stab. Take a number.
How many lost money?
Yes.
Zero.
Two. You want to take a stab at which two teams they were? You want to take a stab at which two teams they were? Don't venture far from home, my friend.
The Buckaroos?
The Bucks. Lost about $14 million. The Clippers lost $114 million. Trophies.
Where are you getting these numbers?
Okay, the UFL championship.
Wait, where are you getting these numbers? Where are you getting these numbers?
Reliable sources.
Like the show on CNN?
You can look it up later. Look, championship trophies. The UFL championship trophy. You didn't talk about much about that. It just got played. Do you know what the name of the UFL championship trophy is called?
The Vince McMahon trophy.
No, it's called the UFL championship trophy. How imaginative. On Aaron Rodgers, I'll close out with this. I suspect that he had some Egyptian holy man that he met last summer perform one of those commitment ceremonies that in the Aaron Rodgers world is a marriage. What do you think?
I think absolutely.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you, my friend. And a shout out to my buddy down there in New Orleans. I hope he's doing well and chimes in tonight, okay?
All right, Robert. Appreciate you in Annapolis. Lest anyone think that I am not a UFL fan or a DC Defenders fan for that reason, or for that matter. I'll have you note that the t-shirt of choice tonight is featuring Cardale Jones, and it says Cheat Code Jones, DC Defenders. This was one of the many shirts that I bought when the XFL came back and then went away in 2020, when they briefly flirted with playing during COVID, being the one league to do it. And then they were like, no, maybe we shouldn't. I had this, there was a sale online of all the merch because they didn't know if this league was ever going back. So I bought a DC Defenders sweatshirt. I bought a DC Defenders long sleeve. I bought a t-shirt of Cardale Jones. I got a pretty sick Battle for the Dome St. Louis Battlehawks shirt. I got an LA Wildcats now defunct hat. Did I get one other piece of... I thought I got one other piece. Oh, I had a DC Defenders polo, which I spilled on. But I got all that for like $45. Hey, you'd be hard-pressed to find shirts without logos on them. That's how poorly valued the XFL was at the time. The shirts were valued less because they had logos on to begin with. So, Cheat Code Jones, my guy Cardale Jones, and my team, the Defenders, winning the championship on Saturday night. Another championship up for grabs on Thursday night after what we saw with Game 5 between the Thunder and the Pacers. A lot of the discussion after that has been where it should be, and that is on Jalen Williams, who had a very, very good game. That is typically the entry point to describe a 40-point game in the NBA Finals, 14 of 25. 31 points for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who should be, probably will be, the Finals MVP. But Jalen put up a pretty good effort last night. This game was starting to follow the script of Pacers games we've seen before, where they're down and then they come back. Although, in this game at halftime, it kind of felt like, all right, Halliburton's got no points. The Thunder have this. Game one, they had a lead at halftime, double-digit lead. But okay, this is the Pacers. This is what they do. But the Thunder seemed to be a little more convincing, at least to me, at halftime. They were not, because then the Pacers cut it to two at 95-93. And then Oklahoma City started to play like, you know what, we're the better team. So let's start playing like we're the better team. There were four straight possessions that Indiana had, four straight turnovers, did not have a shot on any of those possessions. Now, some of the Monday morning quarterbacking discussion about this game was the use of Tyrese Halliburton as he was hurt. He's been banged up. He's been hurt. He's been playing through it. And really, you couldn't notice anything. Because remember back in game two, got a little dinged up. Game three, he was questionable for like a minute. And then, okay, yeah, he's obviously going to play. And then as the series went on, he had 22 points in that game, 9 rebounds, 11 assists. Very good outing for him in game three. Game four, 18 points. Missed a few threes, but you know, it was nothing shocking. This game last night maybe was the worst NBA Finals game that anyone has ever had. And I say that, disregard anything that you think about how I think about the team. This was an abysmal game. 3 turnovers, 4 points, 0 for 4 from 3, 0 for 6 shooting overall. Did have 6 assists, did have 7 rebounds. The shots were bad, the selection was bad. The effort was good because he's playing through the pain. And so the question was, should they have kept him on the bench and maybe run things a little bit more with somebody else? Well, who would that have been? I think to second guess, you can look at the effort that TJ McConnell had for the Thunder, or the Pacers, rather, because McConnell has been just a beast. All right. His previous single game scoring high in this series was 11 points. He had 13 points in just 6 minutes. in one quick burst in the third quarter. So he was very good, and he was getting everything that he wanted, and you think, all right, maybe could the offense be run by him? Because there was a while he was on the bench, and do you go back to him? If you're not going to go with Halliburton, do you go with McConnell? Do you get Ben Shepherd in there? Do you get more Mathurin in there? I think the Pacers did the thing that we all would have done or all would have wanted our teams to have done. That's if your star player is in there, he plays. If he can walk, he can play. If he can play, he can play. The McConnell thing, he did give you a really good outing. And maybe you could have used more than 22 minutes of him. But also, I feel like McConnell plays in a way where you charge him up and you let him go. 22 minutes in that game last night is the most that he's played in any game this playoff run, and the most he's played since a game went to overtime back on St. Patrick's Day against the Timberwolves. Not that he can't do it. I'm not saying he can't do it. I just think one of the strengths of this Pacers team is the mentality and how they approach things when they get on the floor. TJ McConnell does not put himself in a position to need to play 30 to 35 minutes. He puts himself in a position to go lightning, blast, burst, 18, 19 minutes, get what I need, be physical. Hey, if I get a foul, that's fine. If I foul out, that's fine. None of that matters. I just need to attack on defense, get my shots on offense, get my rebounds. I'm out there to be at 100% the entire time. I'm out there to be as high octane as possible. That's the role that I do. So it's like telling somebody, if you're going to, let's say, I'm thinking of track here. Let's say you're like, all right, this is a 400-meter dash, and then they get to meter 350, and then you go to them, oh, actually, this is a mile run. You got to run around the track four times. They're going to be like, well, I would have paced differently. I wouldn't have exerted all this right away if that was the plan. Some of that may have been a factor. Some of that may have been. I also think there's very few coaches and players and even teammates that would be in that position where they would think, we need Halliburton off the floor. I don't know where the line is. I think it's impossible to try to figure out where the line is. The line of, when is this guy hindering the team with an injury? When is he still, he's better than the alternative, even if he's hurt? Where does that line start to blur where it's a net positive to a net negative? It's very hard. I don't think we ever can truly find that line. And I'm not sure that Halliburton crossed it even last night. I think that they probably would have lost this game regardless, even with that comeback. The Thunder were able to turn it on, which was really telling for them and their chances going forward. Now going forward, will they have Tyrese Halliburton? That is the question. He is believed to have suffered a strained right calf, and he's going to undergo an MRI to check out the severity of it. So far, I mean, questionable, I guess, but he says, if I can walk, I'll be out there. 2 more days off of it, sometimes that helps. Sometimes the pain starts to swell or the pain starts to take over a little more. Maybe by game 6, maybe it's not good to have him out there. And without him, I don't know what the chances are going to be. So it's at home. He's going to want to play. He's worked his whole life to get here. You probably play through it. Athletes have played through injuries before and have sucked it up or have been fine. It's just a matter of, what is the level of pain? What is the level of tolerance? What is the level of injury? What are we going to get out of Tyrese Halliburton? So that'll be something to monitor. Again, that game on Thursday on ABC. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get an update here. Once again, it's Marco Belletti.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Stanley Cup final goes to the way of the Florida Panthers. 5-1 victory against the Edmonton Oilers tonight. On the losing side, once again, is Corey Perry. Perry has lost in the Stanley Cup final for the fifth time in the last 6 years. He was with Dallas in 2020 when they lost to Tampa Bay. He was with Montreal in 2021 when they lost to Tampa Bay. So then do you know what he did? He joined Tampa Bay. And then they got to the final and he lost. Was with the Lightning in 2023. They lost in round one. Has been with the Oilers the last 2 years. They lost in the final both years. So Corey Perry has lost. He's lost five of the last six Stanley Cups. Five of the last five that he's played in. Now, he did hoist the trophy back in 07 with the Anaheim Ducks. So he's got one to his name. But the last 6 years, a lot of playing into June and a lot of watching the other team on the sidelines a la Stephon Diggs. Also a loser tonight, a Canadian team. Canada has not won a Stanley Cup since 1993. A reminder that the last American team to win the CFL's Grey Cup was more recent than the last Canadian NHL team to win the Stanley Cup. The Baltimore Stallions won Canada's Grey Cup in 1995. Speaking of Canada, would you wager a guess on what I'm watching right now, Carlos?
Ryan Reynolds, he's from Canada.
Good guess. I'm watching Canada play Honduras in the CONCACAF Gold Cup.
Ah, yes. A thing that I am familiar exists.
They just scored their third goal. Looking pretty good. Good form. The United States did beat Trinidad and Tobago on Sunday, and they've got Saudi Arabia on Thursday night. So a tough viewing choice for the people. Do you watch Indiana and the Oklahoma City Thunder? Or do you go with the United States men's soccer team against Saudi Arabia?
This is a clear choice. What do you mean? Are you being facetious? The choice is clear. You're obviously going to watch Saudi Arabia.
Well, you have to. I mean, you have to watch the soccer. I mean, there's no question about it. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Check on this Giants game as they got a new toy tonight in Rafael Devers. Devers, so far, he's 1-for-4. He struck out twice. He has an RBI double. Oh, this is going to bother me. So they don't do NL and AL separate batting average anymore in the stats?
There's no reason to, because the DH is universal now.
Yeah, that's dumb. But they still do NL and AL MVPs. Well, yeah, there should just be one weeks. MVP.
I'm not mad at that. I'll be very honest. I'm okay with that decision.
You'd be okay if there was an AFC and NFC MVP?
No. I'm okay with what you're saying. Just go ahead and kill the NL AL. Just make it one MVP. I wouldn't be mad at that.
Yeah. Okay. Good. If you've homogenized it in every other way, then you might as well. It's weird. It is weird. Or go back to them being separate leagues. That was really unique and cool, and I liked it. It was different. So Rafael Devers, no longer a Boston Red Sox. He signed that 10-year deal a couple of years ago. Seemed like he was going to be there forever. Ken Rosenthal on MLB Network today explaining why the situation got the way that it did.
Yes, Devers made mistakes here. Yes, he should have acted perhaps in a different way. This all started when they failed to include him in the communication when they were going after Bregman. That's how it all started. And they turned a kid who, well, it's not a kid anymore, he's 28, but they turned a player who they've known since he was 16, who has always had a reputation as kind of a sweet guy, into somewhat of a sourpuss. And that is on them. And this whole situation that they determined they had to rectify, because of course he was going to pollute the minds of their young players, that's on them too. They initiated this with their actions, with their lack of communication. And that is one thing that Ortiz acknowledged, that there was a lack of communication here, quite obviously. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure that out. But to me, this is as much, if not more, on the Red Sox than it is Rafael Devers.
And that being David Ortiz, who gave some comments on the situation as one of the stewardsmen still of the Boston Red Sox with the lifetime contract, whatever that means, but he's just kind of there. Through a translator, Devers did give an answer on the reports of bad communication.
Like I said before, that's in the past. I'm moving forward. I really don't want to talk about it.
I really like his answers, by the way.
Was that Buster Posey getting in there? Funny. Devers, because the big question in Boston was, where are you going to play? If it's not third, are you going to play DH? We didn't want to do that. Then they asked him to play first. He didn't want to do that. So where are you going to play, and how hard will you try?
I'm here to give my 100%. I don't put any buts. They're the men in charge. I am here to play wherever they want me to play.
That would anger me if I was in the Red Sox brass, as he did not want to play wherever we wanted him to play. That was the whole point. But reports out of San Francisco, Melvin saying, the manager, Bob Melvin, that Devers will start at DH, which he is doing tonight, and then he's going to take grounders at first base in the next few days, and ultimately DH and play first for the Giants. So the whole thing he didn't want to do there, he's now going to come do over here. Buster Posey, who I mentioned, he is the president of baseball operations, is the title, I believe, with the Giants. He talked about how this deal came together.
Yeah, it's something that has been in the works for 3 or 4 weeks. Zach had conversations with their group, and then eventually myself and Craig Breslow the last week to 10 days. And it was good. It was obviously negotiations. Things are going to go back and forth. I was texting with Craig today, and we're just thanking each other for the candor and the respect that went into this negotiation.
And he's 1-for-4 tonight, but he is in uniform wearing the number 11. Wearing the number 16, not 11. Do you know why? Because the number 11's retired with the Giants for Carl Hubble. So he changed his number. See how easy that is? See how easy that is? Before we get to the end of hour number two, let's get out to Jeff in New Orleans. Jeff, what's up?
Bart Winkler, good evening to you, sir, as well as Carlos. I have a number of comments that I like to make, and I'm going to try to get through one or two of them right now, so I'm going to get right down to it.
Hit me.
Golly. Jeez, how do you follow a caller like that last call? I mean, that's hard to do, but I'm going to try. Shout out to Robert out there, by the way, too, for all the guidance and direction and encouragement he gives me. I really appreciate that. But I was going to say, Bart, man, that song that comes in out of the break, man, that brings back the greatest memory in my life. In my 48 years, that's the greatest day of my life. And you know what I'm talking about, that
I don't know what song we just played. I have no idea.
Well, no, it's the one you always do. Here, I'll give you a little bit of it. Come, my lady. Come, my lady. You're my butterfly.
Oh, the intro, the title song. Butterfly, yeah.
Yeah, that was, They were going crazy at my wedding, man, and it was back in 2000. It must have been popular, and I mean, God, it got crazy, you know, after our dance song. The guys were out there taking their shirts off and throwing them in the audience, and I'm sitting there wondering, I wonder if the ladies are going to do that, and it never happened, and I guess my wife put the orders out on that. But anyway, yeah, that song, every time I hear it, and I don't hear it often except every night on your show, which is often, I guess. And it just brings back some happy memories. So I appreciate hearing that. But anyway, let me get something else real quick. And
all
I'll
right.
just straighten
up. I got about a minute. Stuff. We got about a minute.
I'll get it in a minute, and I'll pick up this later on during the week. I'm going to put something to bed tonight forever. The, you know, the Carlos deal with the Special K, Carlos with a Special K, that will never be voiced again. It should never be, because we respect his opinion. Now, I got to ask you and Carlos a question. Do you think my version of Carlos with a Special K is better than Zach Gelb's Carlos with a Cappy Cray? Cappy K?
I did. Yeah, why does he call you Carlos with a Crappy K?
I completely forgot. I know he hates my Chiefs take, so that might be what it is.
Carlos with a Crappy K. Why does he got to do that?
Good evening to both of you gentlemen, and enjoying the hell out of this show. Y'all have a good evening. Talk to you soon.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Jeff in New Orleans. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Carlos with a crappy K. It is hard to say. Crappy K.
Yeah, too bad it's easy for Gelb to say it.
Oh, yeah. Gelb has no problem ripping a couple of those off. 888-710-4ISN. Canada's still up 3-0, by the way, if nobody else is watching this game with me. That's cool. I like being alone anyway. Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to The Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.